discussion with the people of Corinth, there is trouble. And Paul is far away from them. The only way he can reasonably communicate with the people in the church is by letter, the one that we have just begun in our readings. It is not going to surprise you that the Corinthians have been without strong leadership, and they have allowed their old lives, their lives before Christ, to have sway again. They've returned to the ways of the world where individualism has wrecked the community they once shared with each other. Now, we've spoken before that a community must protect itself from strange practices, even those introduced by trusted members of the Christian community. When behaviors that are outside of the Christian norm appear in a faith gathering, they have a devastating effect. And we understand the reasons for this. We as humans, as a general rule, want to have an easy time. As easy of a time as possible. After all, we have hard days at work, the time we spend taking care of our children, both adolescent and adult. The time we spend taking care of our children makes us bone tired. And many of us have already put in very, very full years and are, for the most part, enjoying retirement. So you might be able to understand how a strong community, one with most everyone pulling in one direction under the labors of the Christian life, would fall apart if a faction decided that they, rather than the church, rather than Scripture, rather than tradition, will be the arbiters of what is acceptable within that community. Now, for the Corinthians, there are more than a few who have decided that their own individual freedom will dictate what is good and right, rather than the Lord. And it is here that we come to the reason that the Holy Bible is so profound a teacher, even in 2011. How easy would it have been for the writers to make up stories about how they encountered the risen Lord in all His power, how they bent the knee to Him, promised their undying fidelity and willingness to learn, how they reached out for the yoke that is easy, that burden which is light. The writers could have consumed themselves with writing stories of humans who transformed into these people who never have anything go wrong, never have a down day, never have their faith tested or dimmed by the hard knocks of life. The Scriptures surely could be full of accounts about how lives are changed into something unrecognizable to us in an ongoing faith community. But Scripture is not like that, is it? Neither Scripture nor life is like this. What makes the Bible so compelling after these many centuries is the fact that we, as believers, find ourselves in the stories, in the histories, in the poetry of Scripture. I am sure we may well know churches that perhaps have been more about a social club than about replicating people who follow the Lord. The church is a moose lodge, is outside of the Christian norm. The Corinthians were allowing behaviors that blurred the line between Christ church and Corinthian society. And this is what Paul was facing as he wrote to the people of that church. Paul is reminding them that as believers we are called into a merger with Christ Himself. We are not called into our own little individual faiths, each to our own, as the Corinthians found out. No, individual faiths produce individuals, not a cohesive body with one faith and one Lord. We are called to be sanctified in Christ, to be made into saints. So here it is. If you're new to the church, what I'm about to say may sting just a bit. But this movement of sanctification is actually work for us. Christians are not known for their ancestry like our Jewish friends. No, Christians are known for following our Lord through continued learning about Jesus, and we call this discipleship. This is so critical to understand as believers. Jesus himself lectured on this topic. Remember, in the third chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus said to people he was trying to help. He said, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these very stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." You see, Jesus is actually saying that his followers will have a challenging road ahead of them, a life of learning, if, that is, they wish to follow him. This is what a life in Christ is all about: discipleship, pulling together, being one in the body of Christ. These opening words in Paul's letter, the words we have just heard, are the restatement of the characteristics that define a life called into Christian service. It is, in fact, an invitation to exert oneself in the tasks of being in community, learning about the Christian life, practicing forgiveness, prayer, love, service, reconciliation within the church, and then applying that very same knowledge in the world outside these walls. Now, we know there will be conflicts, sure enough. We know that normal and regular human beings come to different conclusions in an honest manner. And this is okay. But we are called into Christ's body together, each and every one of us. And as we submit ever more fully to our Lord and His will for His kingdom to come, we enter more deeply into a real and practical and life-giving faith. Will you pray with me, please? Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that thy people, illumined by thy word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Spirit liveth and reigneth one God, now and forever.